Tom with Living Truth. Today we're on the second in a three-part series of podcasts on Christmas in the book of Ruth. We are going through Ruth chapter by chapter. Today we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2, where we find the continuation of the story of Ruth, the story in Ruth chapter 2 of need. And I was thinking a little bit about when we go out and we go shopping, people that will be standing outside of various stores, Salvation Army volunteers who will stand there ringing a bell and open, smiling, willing to receive gifts that will go to help people in need. Ruth and Naomi were in need. Naomi is the mom. Ruth is their daughter-in-law. They've returned to Bethlehem from faraway places over in Moab. They're in need of food. They didn't have much. Bethlehem, the town where Jesus was born, is where they're at. And this story takes place about 1,000 years or more before Jesus' birth. Naomi grew up there. She'd left with her husband, with her two sons. Unfortunately, they'd all passed away. And now she's returned to the city of Bethlehem. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, has come back with her. So we pick up the story in chapter 2, verse 1, where we learn that Naomi has a relative on her husband's side. Now, her husband was named Elimelech. Elimelech means God is king, and Elimelech was apparently a man of standing. He was a man of wealth, a man of honor, and there's a relative whose name is Boaz, who is also a man of honor. So Ruth and Naomi have returned to Bethlehem, but there is no heir. There is no husband for either of them. And we learn in verse 2 that Ruth says to Naomi, "Let me go to the field, and I will glean among the ears of grain. After him in whose sight I shall find favor," Naomi says, "go." Gleaning was a custom that was built into Old Testament law that when the Israelites were harvesting the land, they would harvest up almost to the edge, but they would leave a little bit for those who were poor to come along and to glean, to harvest the crops along the edge of the field. So it says she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to this man named Boaz. He was from the same family as Naomi's husband, Elimelech. Now, Boaz, he's a prominent guy. He's related to Naomi, and it says that she just happened to be in this field. Ruth just happened to be in this field. The idea being hinting in the text that God led her here. Similar to in the book of Esther, a lot of things happen behind the scenes. Here, the way the text reads, the idea is God in his providence, in his goodness, working behind the scenes, brought her to this field where this relative named Boaz was harvesting. And Ruth ends up in the field of Boaz. And so Boaz, the owner of the field, he asked the foreman of the harvesters, he says, "Who is this? Whose young woman is this?" And the foreman says, "She's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Moab, like I said earlier, Moab had been the place that was in conflict with Israel, an enemy of Israel. There was a stigma in Ruth being there and being a Moabite. And so they go on and have further discussion, and the foreman tells about how Ruth happened to be gleaning there. In verses 8 and 9, Boaz says to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, don't go anywhere else." He says, "Stay close," and he tells her to stay close to some of the other women so that she wouldn't be hurt, so nothing would happen to her. And she says, "Have I not charged the young man not to touch you? When you are thirsty, go to the vessels, drink what the young man have drawn." And so you can kind of picture what could have happened in terms of being an outsider, someone looked down upon, someone not treated well. He's saying, don't allow this to happen. You're valid to be here and to do this, and I'm affirming it. He's taking an interest in her. He's on her side. He's letting Ruth go right along with the servant girls who've been hired for this task. And this was a very chaotic time, a time when in the book of Judges, it said everybody did what was right in their own eyes. They weren't following the laws. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And Ruth was in a very vulnerable kind of position as a young woman. So Boaz offers his protection to her and even tells her to drink from the water whenever she needed to. Boaz is going an extra mile, and she says to him, she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me? I'm a foreigner." And Boaz says, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. So he recognized how she had served her mother-in-law, how she'd been a person of honor. He says, "I've been told how you left your father and your mother in your native land, and you came to a people you did not even know before." So he says, "I'm recognizing your sacrifice." And then there's a prayer in verse 12. He says, "The Lord repay you for what you've done, a full reward to be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." In other words, the Lord bless you for what you've done. He's praying a prayer of blessing over her. And the image is that of God's wings. It's a picture. It's a picture similar to what a bird will do. For example, I read a story about a Minnesota farmer who had chickens in his barn. The barn burned down as he walked through the ashes and the embers. He came across a mother hen and noticed that she had died in that fire. He nudged her carcass, and as he did that, two or three little chicks came out from underneath her. They'd survived the fire because they were under the wings of that mother hen. That's the picture that's given here. God is our refuge and our strength, it says in Psalm 46:1, an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And so Boaz is saying, this is the God we serve, the God in whom we can find refuge and strength. And he's saying that to Ruth, and God says that to us during our difficult times when we need refuge. We turn to God. God is sovereign. He is over us and over the history of the world, and we turn to him even in the midst of the difficulties that we experience. The God of the universe sees us and protects us. Ruth is in awe of Boaz's word. She says, "I found favor in your eyes, my Lord. You've comforted me, spoken kindly to me. I'm not even one of your servants." And then he let her come eat some bread and dip her bread in the wine. And so she ate and she drank and she was comforted by the protection that Boaz had given to her. Boaz gave further instructions to let her continue to glean. And so she returns home and she brings just a pile of barley that she'd gathered. And her mother-in-law says to her, "Where were you gleaning today? Wow! Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And then she told her mother-in-law what had taken place. And she said that his name was Boaz. And Naomi said to her, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness is not forsaken the living or the dead. And then she said, and this man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. His kindness, his loving kindness, his loyal love is a reflection of God's love, is essentially what Naomi is saying. The kind of love that we read about when it says, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the God of the universe takes notice of us, and he sent his Son for you, for me. Ruth the Moabite says, you shall keep close by. Ruth the Moabite said, beside, he said to me, referring back to Boaz, he says, stay close by my men until they finish the harvest. And so they continued to talk about this and this provision, this marvelous provision that was given both to Ruth and to Naomi. He has not forsaken the living or the dead, is what Naomi had said. He hasn't forgotten about us. God hasn't forgotten about you either. Though at times we feel like it, God doesn't forget us. He knows the path we take. He knows the troubles that we go through. Great examples in this passage, Ruth and Boaz. They're at different ends of the economic spectrum. Ruth has nothing. Ruth is poor. And yet God used Boaz to provide for her, to protect her. And, you know, we live in communities and some of us have resources. Some of us don't have many resources. Some people in our communities don't have many resources. Some of us do have resources. And yet God has put us together to encourage one another, comfort one another, and ultimately to point to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And the God of the universe, the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, is the God who provides for us at Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, throughout the year. And he uses God's people to help do that. And so my encouragement to myself and to you during this Christmas season is to look around, to think about the people that we meet and know in our neighborhoods, and to ask the question, how can I be a help? How can I be an encouragement? And how can I do that in a real way, in a physical way, in a way that blesses others? Some of us have more, some of us have less, but all of us have the capability of blessing someone. And that's my prayer for you and for me during this Christmas season. Lord, we do pray that from this story of the way that Boaz and Ruth and Naomi saw that you are the God of loving kindness, Lord, may we see your loving kindness, and may we be like Boaz, like Ruth. May we be those who can provide for others and encourage them, whatever situation they find themselves in. Use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to have you with us. We're going to podcast number 3 in this series on Ruth next time.